What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and today we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one online community for DJs. We can stream for free and not get cut off. Today we have an amazing brother, DJ Chulo, here on the podcast. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you're from and who you are?
Yes, sir, man. Yeah, doing world, man. It's your boy, DJ Chulo, coming live from Dallas, Texas. So, man, been in Dallas for a few, but I've had the pleasure of traveling and seeing a lot of the other states and then Mexico as well. So,
awesome, brother. Dope. Really glad to have you on the podcast, man. I want to jump right into it and let's, you know, hear about, you know, your beginning stories of how you got started as a DJ, you know, what sparked that interest, and just tell me a little bit about how you got started.
Cool. Yeah, man. So actually I do come from, a musical family. My mom's uncles are musicians, so it's always been in my blood. But I was always that shy kid, man. I was always shy and intimidated and about, you know, other people. Always worried that I wasn't good enough. So I was always kind of secretly doing my own thing, like locked in my room, and like nobody knew I was musically inclined or just interested in it. So when I came out, they were like, "Bro, what you about music?" And nobody knew that, right? So I actually started getting into a lot of trouble as a teenager, man. And music actually saved me, man, because I didn't start off as a DJ. I actually started off in a band as a backup dancer for my mom's brothers. They ended up taking over their uncle's group and promoting, and they became the promoters and pushed them to that next level, but they were already older. So once that genre of music, which is in the Mexican genre, like skyrocketed, they were like, okay, we need young cats. We need some, you know, because these guys are too old. They can't do it. So I came in the picture mainly to help them. And then I kind of got in there as a dancer. And that's where my music journey began, man. But while in school, I had a lot of buddies of mine who were DJs. And I remember just going over their houses and seeing the techniques, the 1200s. And I was like, dude, that's so awesome. Like, everybody else was like about partying and stuff like that. And I was just like amazed at the mixer, at the turntables, at the records. And I was just be like, dude, can I like play with it? Like, can you show me? And, you know, they were just like, yeah, man, I guess, you know, you can go, you know, whatever. But really they never really taught me. And it kind of just stayed there, man. So then I, like I said, bouncing back to the music, to the band, I took off and we got signed and did major things. So the kind of the DJ thing fell behind, even though it was always still an interest for me. And so when that chapter came to an end, I was actually like done with music, man. I was like, okay, man, I'm done with music. I'm just going to be a regular dude, go to college, get my, you know, something in business and just leave it. But it's just, once it's in you, man, it's in you. It's tough to get out of it. So I fell in love with music again, man. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I reached out to those guys that I'm in school again. And I was like, hey, man, you know, you think you can teach me? And they were all like, you know, some would be like, nah, man, you know, I can't do it. Or some would just say they would, but just never did. And I had one friend of mine, good friend, still good friend to this day, man. He had just bought I want to say it was a Newmark, one of the newer controllers. At the time, controls were barely coming out. So it was like the little, just average, nothing major. I think it was like a startup controller, right? And he was like, dude, if you want to take it, dude, just take it. You know, practice and do what you want. I'll show you what I know, which wasn't a lot, you know, mainly what did what and how to connect it and stuff like that. And so, yeah, man, I took it. Took the little advice he gave me and I ran with it, dude. And after that, I went and I got my own little Pioneer S. I think it was the S. No, it wasn't the S1. It was just the regular Pioneer. Once again, the one that had the USB port, it wasn't even like a legit controller. It was like USB to a computer. That's how it powered up. But then I just started practicing, man. I would lock myself up in my mom's garage and just practice for hours. I mean, hours, Monday through Sunday, rain, sleet, snow. And you know, garage isn't insulated. So I mean, down here in Texas, the heat is crazy. So there would be times where I come out just drenched in sweat because it was so hot in there. And then in the wintertime, I'll be in there for so long that like my hands would ball up and I would literally have to like pry them open because it was so cold.
Wow.
But which is like, dude, I'm not gonna give up until I learn how to do this. I'm gonna prove those guys wrong that they didn't want to show me. And a lot of the thing with the guys was that's around the time where the new equipment was coming out. So Serato was just coming out. It wasn't like before where you had to actually buy records, or even at the times where when I came around, it was CDJs. So you still had to burn music on CDs and do it that way. So it was much less competition. But when Serato came out and Virtual DJ, pretty much anybody in mama could be a DJ. All you needed was a laptop, you know? So a lot of, and I get it. At that point, I didn't get it because I was like, man, I'm trying to get, like, why are they don't want to help? Like, why is it like that? But now, as I've grown as a DJ, I get it now. You know, they were trying to protect their industry, you know, their livelihood, honestly. And so, you know, I get it now because now it's like, now you see it is super saturated. Like, it's crazy, you know. It's just, I think the pandemic did help a bit, though, because it's expensive to be a DJ, man. Equipment is expensive. Software is expensive. So if your heart really ain't into it, you're going to fall off of it eventually, you know? So, yeah, man, they, you know, and they felt like, oh, you know, you at the band and now you're trying to use that to become a DJ, you know, when you don't know, like they thought I was just like this kid who wanted to use my platform that I have from my band is to make more money because I was done there, which wasn't the case. But so nevertheless, I learned on my own, and then I went and when they one DJ in particular, he made a comment with that comment, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna show you, man. You don't think I'm a real DJ? Cool. I went ahead and traded in my board, and I got 2 1200 techniques. Wow. And, dude, when I went back, like literally within a week, I wanted to quit. I took them back. I went back to Guitar Center. I was like, here, dude, I'm done. I can't do this.
Wow.
And the manager was like, he was a good friend that I met, you know, going so much, you know, looking at equipment and stuff. I made a good friend out of him. He was a DJ as well. And he was like, no, like, I'm not going to let you trade him back in, bro. He was like, listen, it's harder. It is, but go back, relax, practice some more. Trust me, you'll get it. You'll get it. And I thank him, man, because if it would have been anybody else, be like, all right, you don't want to do it, here you go. Yeah. Trade him back. Here's your money back, and there you go.
I think that's super interesting because it kind of shows that you have to get over that early learning curve to mm-hmm. really be in the game. And a lot of people probably start and they quit at that same point that you were at, where you almost quit, and they just never get into the game because they never got over that early learning curve. And I think by you sharing that story for anyone that may have been there, that might be that motivator that they might need to hear to get them back into the game. So next time around, they'll make it past that learning curve. And I want to jump back because you have such an interesting story, man. Like, you started out saying how you were shy when you first started, you know, even being in the music industry in any right. sense. You know, what were you able to do to kind of break you out of that? Because obviously on this call, you sound very confident. You're not shy at all today, you know? So how did you go about going from someone that's a shy dude to someone that is DJing in the music industry, really killing it? And that's a super important lesson or kind of insight that you can share with the audience that may be shy themselves. And
yeah,
trying to get ways that your experience could show them how to get out of their shyness and jump into something they may love and find a passion in.
Definitely, man. Yeah, no, it was a struggle for me, man. Like I said, it was, I guess, just the acceptance, man. But you got to be confident, especially in this industry. You know, you definitely have to be a confident individual because we've all been there, right? We've all been to a club or a bar, whatever, not to work, but just, you know, to have fun. And I know it's hard to not pay attention to the music of the DJ, being a DJ ourselves, because we're gonna criticize, right? It just comes with it. But think about those times, man, when you just see somebody up there and they just looks like they're not having fun. You're like, why are they up there then? You know, so you gotta have that confidence and just know and believe in yourself. That's the main thing, is believing in yourself and know that, you know, that you're good at what you do. And that was it for me, man. Once I started getting out my shell a little bit, and then I guess it also came with me being a good MC too when it comes to DJing, because that's how, if I really want to backdate it, kind of before the band, everything, when it was those high school house parties, I would break out the show, but I would grab the microphone and I would be the MC for the DJ. And everybody would be like, bring that guy next time. Like, he got to be at my party because he like, and just hearing those things, man, it helped me build character and helped me build, you know, that confidence that I needed. And so once I hit like senior year, my confidence was through the roof, man. And I guess also I was just tired of people doubting me and, you know, not believing in me. And it was just kind of just, I just hit that point, man, where I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to show y'all who I really am, that I am able to do the things that you're telling me that I'm not. And, you know, and I'm going to have fun with it. And so that, all of those ingredients, it just definitely helped me come out my shell. And then, yeah, dude, like, you know, I will say though, I am still shy. It's just when it comes to music, it's like I'm a whole different person, man. When I get on a stage or behind those tables, it's like a switch goes off and I'm DJ Chulo. And then I come off and I'm Jose Sierra. You know, I'm still reserved. I still, you know, like the keys to myself. But when I'm all about entertainment, man, I think especially when it's our job to entertain people and have them have a good time. You want them to forget about their problems while they're there for those few hours. Just let loose and remember that. So I've always been big on that. Like, man, if they wanted just to hear music, they could have popped to the CD or MP3 at their house and just stay there. You got to give them that experience, man. Let them forget, let them enjoy. So also I feed off of that too, man, off the crowd. And that just kind of helps me because they want you, it reflects, man. If you're having a good time and you transition some positive vibes, it's naturally they're gonna react to that.
Yeah, I think it was dope how you kind of separated, you know, when you're Jose and when you're DJ Chulo. So I want to jump into, you know, how did you get that name and what does that name mean to you and your brand?
Man, so the name thing, that was like the hardest thing for me. Like, I went through so many corny names, dude, that it was ridiculous. Like, I just, that was so hard for me. Like, I was like, man, what do I like name myself? I don't want to have a long name because then people won't remember it and they're gonna, you know, how. And Chulo, man, it just came naturally. So Chulo is in Spanish, it means handsome, cute, or whatever. That's what the, you know, when you think of it. But for me, it was the reason I chose it was because ever since I joined the band, I was the youngest one in the band. And so when we got signed, we had a lot of people like A&Rs, project managers, people from the record label, just a lot of them were women and a lot of them were older women. And they would always refer to me as Jose Chulo, Jose Chulito, you know, as like a little pet name, I guess. And so when I was looking through names, I said, like, man, you know what? It kind of rolls off, you know, Jose Chulo. And that's how I started, DJ Jose Chulo. But then I was like, I got to cut the Jose out, man, because it's too long. It's still not, you know, so just DJ Chulo, boom, straight to the point. And my strong is hip hop. That's my strong. I mean, I could DJ all genres, but my strong genre is hip hop. And so with that being said, a lot of my demographics is, you know, white people and black folks. And so they loved it, bro. Like black girls, they love it. They give me compliments all the time because they're just like, oh, you know, they always go to Papi Chulo. Oh, Papi Chulo, that's okay. And then they roll the way it rolls out of their tongue. So I was like, I got something here. I got it. Because if I could have them remember my name, then I got it. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So you definitely want to have a name that is, that people can pronounce, people can remember, short, sweet, to the point. And that's what I did. Once I seen people, because at first it was tough. I'm not going to lie. Because I was like, man, Hispanics are quick to judge. And I know I'm going to get that backlash. It's like, I'm not going to call you that. You think it's, you know, I'm going to call another man cute or handsome or this and that. And so it's like, all right, but I'm going to run. But once I seen the larger scale of things and the compliments from non-Hispanics, and then Hispanics started trying, like, okay, that's a dope name. Like, and then back to the point of being confident, that's another thing too. Like, yo, if this guy's willing to name himself that, that's confidence 100% right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, similar, like when a rapper says, I'm the king of whatever, you got to be able to back that up, you know what I'm saying? And be confident, not back it up, but be confident and not be shy whenever, like, why did you pick that name or why? But that's reality why that name came across, because I was like, man, they already called me that. So it just kind of stuck. you know, and then
I think that's dope, bro. I think that's super amazing because you highlighted that it's important that you be very thoughtful about your name and pick a name that makes sense for you and what you're able to do with the confidence behind the name you choose. Because a name can make or break a DJ. If your name is not, you know, memorable, if it doesn't suit who you are as a person, it doesn't align, doesn't match, it doesn't make sense, people are going to dismiss you and your name. And it's like, how do you build a brand around a name that aligns with who you are as a person? And you got validation from the market, the people telling you already that you Papi Chulo, you this and that, this is you. And you kind of just owned it and you took that into your name and built a brand around it. Now you're going to these different clubs and parties and people are calling you it, and it's really aligning with your whole story. And that's what DJs need to understand. You know, a lot of people listen to this podcast are either aspiring DJs or DJs that are looking to level up their game. And when it comes to your DJ brand, it's all about how can you tell a story of why it all makes sense and how you can build a vibe around your entire brand. The way that you DJ, the way that you MC, the way that you curate and have these events and parties, all of it comes together to tell a beautiful story so the people on the other end can have a great experience. And I can tell from just the way you're speaking about everything that you probably make an amazing experience for anyone that you're entertaining. And that's what you talked about. It's all about being an entertainer and you do it well, brother. Yeah, I want to hear, you know, from there, you know, you ended in earlier about, you know, ending high school with a tremendous, you know, confident boost. And now, you know, you're out there, you're doing parties, you're doing events. You know, walk us through your journey from there.
Yeah, man. So like I said, when the DJ journey really began, I was stuck in my mom's garage and just learning and practicing. And I wasn't going to be satisfied until I felt that I was ready. So I would still go out to clubs and bars and stuff like that to mingle with DJs and kind of get a vibe of how they were doing things and pick up on certain things. And then the ones who would want to share with me, you know, I definitely treasured those gems. And, you know, I would just take them back and, okay, I'm going to practice. Or if I would see somebody do something, I'm like, oh, that's dope. I'm going to come back and I'm going to perfect it and do better and try to put my own little twist to it, you know. But my thing is, and I think I've always had, is patience. And that's very, very key to all of those inspiring up-and-coming DJs, man, is have patience. Because a lot of them that I see, they'll ask me like, hey, man, I want to be a DJ. Can you show me? I'm like, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you really want to be a DJ? Or are you just saying that because you want to be around the girls, the party, the booze, like for real? Like, and that's a serious question, because I'm like, people think that they go buy equipment. Well, that's the first thing. They don't know how much expensive equipment is until they go see those price tags. Second of all, music. All inspiring DJs, man, please. And this isn't to try to, because I don't get paid for this or anything, but if you're going to be a DJ, man, definitely try to get you a good record pull. Don't download off of YouTube and stuff. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to promote these companies, but you want your quality. Remember this, people don't know music the way you know music. So when you download a song and you pirate it off for like a YouTube or anywhere else, and it sounds like crap, people think it's you. They don't think it's the music. So get you music that is high quality, sounding really good. Get you a good, you know, membership to a record pool, you know, exploring and get you one. So that's when it starts adding up. And then lastly, I tell them, like, dude, you have to have patience. Because once again, they think they get the music. Okay, I got the music. I got the equipment. Okay, when can I get my first gig? I'm like, bro, it's not like that. Like, you have to wait. You have to be patient and earn your stripes. And when you're ready, dude, you'll be ready. Go out there. And I've put people on blast and on point. I'm like, okay, you ready, bro? Go ahead. Get you a little 10 minute in. And they freeze up, bro. They freeze up. And, you know, I've gotten in trouble by GMs. And then, like, dude, don't ever do that again. Don't ever put nobody in there like that. But I'm like, you know what? And I explained to them, I'm like, look, they're up and come. I'm trying to prove a point, man. But I get it. You know, I would never put nobody in peak time. But, you know, and I'll tell them, hey, you want come out like around 9 or 9:30 when it's just beginning and see. But it never fails, bro. They always freeze up or they don't know what to do. And then they're like, oh, it's because I don't have, bro, it's because you're not ready. Get your, you know, practice. Like, I didn't get my first gig until like 6-7 months, which is still, you know, if you ask a lot of DJs, they tell you like, man, it took me years to learn how to DJ. But it just, I guess for me, it did came naturally because I've always had a love for music. And in the back, I've always wanted to be a DJ. and I'm really good. I have a really good ear. So I don't use headphones. And people are always like, oh, well, you're not a DJ. Then how can you not use headphones? And I'm like, dude, you don't get it. Like, I don't use headphones not because the first thing they'll tell me, oh, well, you have it synced for you. Well, no, I don't. I don't sync. I don't even use a sync, but it's just I can hear it in my head. I hear the music in my head. And headphones are just uncomfortable. And so the only time I use headphones is if I don't know the song and I have to hear it real quick. And I'm like, okay, got it. But the first 10 seconds of hearing the song, I already can tell you, man, this will go perfect with this song, with this song, with that song. I could do this. So it's just, I can hear the music in my head already. So I don't use headphones. And I can read. I know how to read wavelengths. And it's not because, you know, the color, like, oh, well, because of the color, you're weaving wavelengths. I'm like, no, dude, because I went to college for audio engineering. So I know how to mix and master. I know what a wavelength is supposed to look like, where the you know, the hook is, where the bass and the wavelength is, where the treble is. Where. So I know by looking at a wavelength, okay, this is more likely where the hook begins. This is where the drop is. This is where the... So all of that, plus me hearing the music in my head, I'm able to transition really smooth. And that's one of the compliments that I've gotten a lot. Like, dude, your transitions are really, really crisp and clean. How do you do it? And I'm saying, man, it just, I don't know. And this is hard to explain to other up and coming DJs. That's probably my biggest thing is I don't want to come off. I think they think I'm coming off as a jerk, but I'm like, dude, it's hard when you just naturally get something to try to explain it to somebody. Because you yourself don't know how to. Like, you know how to do it and you can show it, but they're like, well, how did you do it? I'm like, I don't know how I did it. I just did it. But kind of you try to tell them how to do it. But what I tell them, man, is just honestly practice makes perfect, man. And just until you can literally put I would say 30 minute set. If you can get a 30 minute set without interruption and your transitioning sounding as clean as possible, then you're ready for a gig. And then of course you got other factors like MCing and all of that and equipment and all that. But yeah, bro, like definitely
that's practice. Great, bro. I think that like you really shed some light on the real skill of DJing. And it's not as easy as it may look. And it's like there's a lot of things that go behind it and just the way you go about it and think about it and the skill set that you have to be able to do it very well. It makes a difference, you know. And one thing that I've heard in your interview, I didn't hear in many of the other interviews, is the fact that you went to school and you studied lot of the technical aspects of music and DJing. Can you tell a little bit about that and your recommendation for DJs? Do you think that it's worthwhile for them to go to school to get study this stuff professionally? Tell me a little bit about your experience with school.
Definitely, man. So like I said before, the reason I went to college, I won't say back because once I graduated, that's when I got signed in the band or whatever and felt like that was going to be the rest of my career for the rest of my life. But, you know, unto my surprise, that wasn't the case. So I decided to go to school. It was a whole different journey than I thought when I enrolled in college. I honestly didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew I needed a career. And then almost right about, I think I needed like 10 or 12 credits to graduate my associates. One of my classmates was like, hey, do you know they got a studio at this college? And this is Collin County Community College here in Plano. And I was like, no, really? Like, dude, it's dope. So he went and took me in and once I saw it, that was when it was love again at first sight. Like I was like, all the emotions came back and I was like, dude, I can't leave music, man. I can't. So I remember running back to the administrations and being like, hey, what can I do to switch my major to music? And they're like, man, you really want to do that? Like, you're really like close to having your associates. Like, you would have to start all over. And so they asked me, like, let me ask you this. What do you want to do in the music? I'm like, well, you know, just want to learn how to mix them. And so like, okay, so it sounds like you want to learn how to do audio, not get a bachelor's or degree in music, because that's more for like if you wanted to be a professor or fall in the line of like actual music like classical and all that tradition. And so they advised me, look, a lot of your credits already will transfer. You can, I wouldn't say dual get, because it wasn't a dual, it was more of a certification in audio engineering and then finish my associates in general arts. So they were like, just take the courses that that are required for audio engineering, and then you'll get your certification and you still get your associates. So I'm like, cool. And I learned so much, man. I learned a lot. And I think that also made me a better DJ, because I was able to learn about MIDI mapping and then the mixing mastering. I was able to learn about wavelengths and, you know, where the pitches should be, where, you know, audio should clip off, you know, the bass levels, all of that. I was really able to digest and learn about, because, you know, you'll go to certain spots and you're just like, oh, why is he got it so loud? Like, and then you go and it's like, it's clipping at red, like the whole time, you know? So in this, they don't know what they're doing, you know, they don't know how to adjust levels. And so a lot of that was, I definitely, it helps me today, because I'm able to know a lot more, not just on the DJing side, but the audio side too. And a lot of these owners and clubs, they don't know. They just buy equipment and then boom. And then they wonder why it sounds so like bad. And I'm like, well, dude, it's not regulated, right? You want me to re-level it? And then they're just like, dude, you're a lifesaver. Like, now it sounds so perfect. So, but to answer the other question, school isn't for everybody. I get that. But I wouldn't knock it either, you know, because if you're really serious about, you know, even if you wanted to transition from a DJ to a producer, you know, some like a DJ Mustard or, you know, some of those guys who DJ and they also produce, then school definitely wouldn't not help. I mean, you learn so much, man. And then you also learn about the business side of it, which is very important, man, because this is a greedy, greedy industry, man. And if you don't know the business side of it, you'll get eaten alive. Like, you will definitely see that very, very soon. And like I said, guys, this DJing is very expensive. So you might have all these gigs and these, you know, these other things that you have on the side, but you ain't seen any money off of it, because you're not business, you know, savvy, and you don't know how to conduct yourself when it goes. And school shows you that as well. So like I said, it's not for everybody, but it helped me, man. And I would recommend it, just because it's you can never not learning, man. Learning is I always say it's super dope, man, to be able to learn and grow from that, you know. And of course, it's not nothing that you have to stay. If you don't like it, and you decide, hey, it's not for me, then, you know, hey, you know, I mean, it's not anything other than investing in your craft anyway. So you might have to pay for a class or two in college and just say, hey, you know what, it's not for me. And yeah, you lost on that money. But same thing, you know, if you would have went and bought some more software, some more equipment, it's still a part of you investing into your craft. So I guess better see it as an investment. See it as an investment towards you becoming a better DJ, better, you know, music industry personnel, whatever, you know, you fall in. And then lastly, business. You are able to conduct yourself more with on the business side of things.
Wow, man, this is some really great information, super valuable advice that you're giving to people. And you're such a professional with your craft and your business and just being a great DJ overall. I'm super excited that we're on this call and you're sharing your story on this podcast, man. Before we jump into the lightning round, do you have any last piece of advice for the people that may be listening?
Yeah, man. Like I said, everything. Remember, guys, DJing is a very broad scale of, you know, you have DJs who only do weddings and corporate events, and then you have your club DJs and, you know, party DJs, which I kind of fall under, preferably because I like interacting with people, and like really, really interacting with people, and being that, you know, I want to be the one that you are the reason why you're partying. And I get, you know, it is interacting when it comes to weddings, but a wedding or a birthday, they're there for the birthday person or the groom and the bride. They don't care about you. They care that you get it crunk and get it live, but at the end of the day, they're there for those people. So that's why I kind of, you know, do that. But it's this, the sun comes out for everybody. So don't, you know, if that's your calling and you know, you want to do that, then, you know, I definitely don't knock it. But here's my last piece of advice would be, man, just open your horizon, man. Open your, you know, don't just be in, you know, confined to one, just three, you know, three-dimensional box. Like, get out of that box. You know, that was my thing, was I wanted to be the best and still do, still, you know, do everything that I can to grow and hopefully one day be on a larger scale, and I'm working towards it. So my thing is I don't just DJ hip hop, you know, I do Latin music, I do Afro beats, I do, you know, and that's just because I want to keep growing and, you know, top 40 EDM. Not too many DJs can say that. Not too many DJs can say, hey, man, I know how to spin, you know, 10 genres for you right now. Like, I can, you know, I can easily say that. And so, yeah, man, I encourage y'all to try and to open your horizons, man. Open, get, you know, even if you don't like it, just play with it, you know, that way. And it opens business more too, you know what I'm saying? Because if you just confined to just doing one type of genre, well, then you're only going to get booked for one type of genre. And if that genre is already so saturated in the city that you're in, how are you going to make money? You know, and if, you know, if you can do not only hip hop, but you can do top 40, you can do EDM, you can do Latin music, you can do Afro beats, like, you know what I'm saying? It starts opening more opportunities for you. So that would be definitely my biggest advice, man. And then, you know, also, I know this industry is a lot, it's becoming a lot of who you know, not what you know. Don't let that discourage y'all, man, because a lot of, I do see a lot of DJs beginning, up and coming, they, if it's not the equipment, it's that right there that they'll fall off and quit because they're like, man, I'm not, nobody's listening to me, man, because I'm trying to get the gig here, but they got this other guy here because he's related to the promoter. So how can I compete with that? Man, just keep pushing. Y'all keep doing. Eventually, like I said, man, if you're good, word's going to get around. And trust me, you'll get heard eventually. Just patience. Patience is key. Patience is definitely key.
Wow, man. Great advice. Appreciate everything that you shared on this podcast, man. And we're ready for a lightning round. You ready?
I am ready, man.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
All right now I got the ZSD2. So I went back to the controller just because turntables was so hard to carry, man. I had to carry two cases of turntables plus the mixer and yeah, it was tough. So I got the SD2 controller. And I DJ mainly in bars and clubs, so they got their setups there. So I just usually take my board and my laptop, Mac. I'm a Mac guy. Can't do PC. So, yeah. So that's my setup. Basically, I'm on a regular basis. Like I said, sometimes I'll do events and I'll put up some QSCs. But for the most part, it's clubs and bars, man. So my board and my laptop and boom, plug and play. Let's go.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, man, you see the head, man. One of my biggest inspirations is DJ Michael 5000 Watts. I mean, he's one of the biggest reasons why I wanted a DJ, just because his sound, man. I know DJ Screw, RIP, and respects to him for putting that, but Watts he elevated that movement to a whole nother level. And if you haven't had a chance to hear him actually DJ, bro, sick. So he's probably my favorite I got a list, my top five, but he's definitely number one.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Oh, that's a good question. And it's been so many, but I would probably have to say New Year events are definitely probably my favorite, just because the atmosphere is different, man. You know, everybody's just, it's the new year, new me, like, so it, yeah, bro, it's nothing like DJing the big New Year event in the city. So definitely those have to be my favorite. You know, just the is a whole different level.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
I would have to say not person, but people, man. I think while my journey in DJing, I would have to say promoters are probably the most interesting people, bro. And then for all those up and coming, you'll quickly find out why.
What is one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
Oh, man. That's another good question. That's a good question. I think more interaction, man. I think more interaction with like what you're doing. I think that would be pretty dope. You know, have like a Q&A at one point, and you know, kind of just being able to interact more with them. You know, I think a lot of people have a lot of questions, a lot of just things on their mind that they would want to ask. And yeah, man, I think just more interaction. That would probably definitely be dope to be able to interact with the DJ a little bit more, get on a personal level. That would be my thing, me saying for sure.
Shout out any DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, man, shout out my boy DJ Cali T. He just recently moved from California down here, so he's transitioning from the Cali life to the Texas life, but he's one of the dudes. DJ Flex B, younger cat. Who else we got out here, man, from the area? Oh, man. So many to name, man. I don't want to leave anybody out because then they're going to be like, dude, who else is in the DJ A1, DJ Scrappy from the radio station, 97.9 out here. Definitely dope DJ. DJ Quick Mix Rick. The man, DJ Watts. Of course, DJ Michael 5000 Watts. If you can get, you know, one of the legendary DJs on the podcast, you know, soon, I think that would be a dope one to have on here, because he has stories from both sides, man, not the DJing and the business side. For those DJs who want to get into producing, who want to get into linking up with like rappers or artists, I think he would definitely be dope to hear from him and get those really good gems, man, because he's done it all, man. So I think, like I said, I don't want to leave anybody out, man. So I just shout out everybody in the DFW who's doing their thing. I think if they get the same opportunity that you gave me, that'll be dope, man, because there's a lot of talent out here in Dallas-Fort Worth, a lot of good DJs. I just wish that we could come together more, man. I think that's one of my biggest pushes for this year, is to change that culture of it's who you know, not what you know. We can change that culture, man, because a lot of DJs are getting discouraged and hanging them up, including myself. I was one of those that was ready to hang up because, man, I'm never going to get to where I want to be, you know, if I don't run with a certain crowd or if I don't link with these promoters. And, you know, that's the thing, not to knock, because there really are some really good promoters out there, but, you know, a lot of times the promoters like to take the shine and the credit for what we do. Yeah, I got to remember, guys, we're the ones who get the party started. We're the ones who keep it rocking, and we're the ones who keep the people coming back, because we're the ones playing the music. So it should be acknowledgement on our end too, and we should be rewarded for that. And a lot of these promoters don't see it that way. You know, they think that, oh, well, you know, you're in the hottest club in the city, that's enough, you know, saying that's enough for you. But I mean, there's a lot of us who really see this as a career, as something that we can grow and just do this full time. And so, like I said, that culture definitely in my eyes needs to change, because there's so many talented dudes out here that I'm like, dude, why aren't you there? And they have another DJ there who you'll go. And like I said, to the untrained ear, you're there just to listen to music, right? You don't know. But to somebody who does have that trained ear and who is a DJ, you can tell. You know, you'd be like, man, his transitioning. Some of them don't even transition. They'll just slam. And even that, their slamming isn't good. So you're like, how is this dude here? Like, what is going on? But it comes back to that same, you know, that same coach is like, oh, well, he knows a promoter, you know, they went to school together, or that's his cousin, or that's his sister's boyfriend, or that's, you know, the owners, some way or the other form, it comes back to who you know, not what you know. And gotcha. So hopefully, man, we can change that culture, man, and give a lot of these other guys opportunities who are really putting in that work, who are really investing time in their craft and, you know, going 110 and just looking for that opportunity, man, to shine.
Awesome, man. I hope to hear their stories here on the podcast. So any DJs that are interested in being on the My DJ Story podcast, feel free to sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Definitely, man. So all my social media handle is under DJ Chulo Music. And that's spelled out together. No special words, like the way it sounds. DJ Chulo, Chulo, and then Music, Music, all together, DJ Chulo Music. That's Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, working on a Twitter and working on a website as we speak. So doing all those right now. But those three handles, you can definitely find me. SoundCloud as well. SoundCloud, I have mixes up different type of genres. So check those out. That's the same handle as well, DJ Chulo Music. And then if you're in the area, man, I really stay up to all those people from the DFW, the Collin area. That's where I mainly stay. So you can find me at the Shops of Legacy, at Pepper Smash in Plano on Fridays. In Allen, I'm at Shakerton's, which is also about to open a new location at the Shops of Legacy. So hopefully y'all see me there. Right now I'm in Allen over there by Fairview, by the outlets. And then with everything opening up, man, we'll see where Sunday brings me. Oh, and then Thursdays I'm at Shark Club in the Plano as well. Then that's a Latin night. So I'm there every Thursday. So right now, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays is where I'm at. And I also do a gym. So all my workout peoples, if you like a good workout session, F45 is where I'm at in Allen. So, but yeah, man, definitely come check me out. Different vibes and different those all events. I go from hip hop to Latin music to some top 40 house EDM. So kind of I do bounce around with genres and stuff like that. And definitely also do private events still when they come about. Really don't, except I'm more of a club DJ, so I really don't try to unless it's just a really good opportunity that I can't pass up. But yeah, man, those are the spots that I'm at. So if you're ever in the area, definitely come and check me out. And don't be afraid to come up, man. If you're a DJ, I always like meeting new DJs, man. And I always trying to show as much knowledge that I can and anything that I can do to inspire you or to continue to help you grow. Or if you're in that version of, man, I don't know if I want to quit or not, like I'm open book, man. And don't feel like you can't approach me. I'm very friendly, man. Very, very humble. You know, definitely if you see me out in the venues, come up to me, man. Shake my hand, introduce yourself. Let's, you know, swap some information, social media, phone numbers, whatever. And then anything I could do to help, I'm always down to help, man, in any way. So
awesome, brother, man. This was an amazing interview. Appreciate you, brother. Please stay in touch. People are super excited to hear your journey and to continue to build with you. This was great. Everyone that's listening, please check out DJ Chulo. He's really doing it, and he's open to help others as well that are trying to get into the game. So definitely connect with him, especially if you're in his area. So thank you for being on the show, brother. We appreciate you.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you for having me, man. You got a dope concept going on. Like I said, nothing but the best. And wish you success, man. I do see this growing. And anything you got, you know, coming up, definitely hit me up, man. I'll be more than glad to join.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.